Welcome to This is America in VOA Special English. I'm June Sims.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. This week on our program, we visit a theater that has special performances for the blind. Then, we get a lesson in the Suzuki method for teaching young children to play musical instruments. And later, we look at the growing demand for gluten-free foods in the United States.
You Can't Take It With You is a funny play from 1936. But on this day, the people who have come to the Everyman Theater in Baltimore, Maryland, are not here for a traditional performance. Marcus Kidd is the education director for the theater.
We're here to take you on an experience through You Can't Take It With You.
The visitors are all visually impaired. Many theater companies offer wireless earpieces for blind people to hear descriptions of the action on stage. But Everyman Theater goes a step further. It offers special performances for people with little or no eyesight to experience theater in a different way.
We don't believe that just because they can't see a play, that they can't enjoy a play.
The visitors get a chance to go on the stage and touch the things on the set. Not every play includes a touch tour, but Marcus Kidd says You Can't Take It With You was a natural choice.
Almost everything in the play that has to be on stage ends up affecting the story. From the minute you open the script, you know, you get the description of this typewriter, this skull that's holding jelly beans.
Everyman Theater has been doing touch tours for several years, usually for one play each season. Roger Williamson regularly attends the theater's touch tours.
Because we don't see, we only get to form images of what we think is going on in our minds. So this will enhance the performance greatly to have a greater imagery of the entire play and not just the voices and what we think the people may look like.
Maurice Perret attended the play before taking the touch tour.
It brought the play that much more alive, knowing what the set looked like. I can recall seeing the play and seeing where some of the performers were sitting. We see more with our brains than with our eyes, so it's not a question of seeing things, but assimilating visual information.
Playwrights George S. Kaufman and Moss Hart wrote, You Can't Take It With You. It won a Pulitzer Prize. The play was made into a movie in 1938, starring Gene Arthur and Jimmy Stewart. The film was a hit. It won the Academy Award for Best Picture, and Frank Capra was honored with an Oscar for Best Director. Here is some sound from the movie version of You Can't Take It With You.
Boy, there'll be some questions asked about my family and their tree. I can just feel it.
Good. I know all the answers.
You know, if we're honest now, we're going to save ourselves a lot of embarrassment later. Tony, I want you to invite them to my house.
Oh, so that's what's been on your mind, huh?
Give them an opportunity to meet everybody, and then they'll know us.
All right. I think I can arrange that. Let's see. Now, I can put each member of your family in a separate cage, and then put tags on them, and the Kirby's can parade up and down.
Tony.
Well, do you think I'm going to put you on exhibition like a circus?
I don't mind.
Well, I do. I'm just not going to bother.
We've got to. To them, I'll always be just a stenographer. Look at your mother. She's still staring at me.
Well, who wouldn't stare at you?
Tony, promise you'll do it.
You know, every time I think how lucky I am, I feel like screaming.
Please promise you'll invite them.
Oh, I feel the scream coming on right now.
You know, we'll have to face it sooner or later.
Yes, starting right down on my toes. Sort of a tingling sensation.
Now, look, we can invite them over.
Around my knees. My leg. brakes are driving faster and faster and faster.
You're not really going to scream.
It's in my stomach right now.
I'm afraid it's got me, Alice.
How did your mother
going up and up and up and up. It's all over my body now. Here.
No.
Join my throat now. What I can do, it's fighting to get out. I don't. I can't hold it any longer. Here it goes.
With the Suzuki method, a child first learns to play music by hearing it, rather than reading musical notes. Five-year-old Hannah Mae Sturry recently started violin lessons with the Suzuki method. Her teacher, Stephanie Fleck, says Twinkle Twinkle Little Star is the first song children learn to play.
It's a very simple tune that is easy to learn by ear, and then they learn the elements of how to hold the violin, the bow. We put it all together slowly, and then they're playing music right away.
Hannah Mae's mother, Judy Sturry, says she is amazed at her daughter's progress.
I think it's great, and she does love it, and she's humming it in the car.
Stephanie Fleck says she is not surprised. She was a Suzuki student herself as a girl.
Our method teaches pieces from the beginning.
Her daughter Shannon plays more advanced pieces and likes classical music.
In classical, you can change things up and play it how you want to play it. I usually change the tempos just a tiny bit and the loudness.
Japanese violinist Shinichi Suzuki developed the Suzuki method more than 50 years ago. He believed all children could learn to play music. His method was later adapted for other instruments. Shinichi Suzuki died in 1998. Rhonda Cole became one of the first Suzuki teachers in the United States about 40 years ago. She trains violinists to become Suzuki instructors, but says teaching children to play is inspiring.
They're more sensitive to musical sounds.
Over time, children learn to read musical notes and later perform complex music. Divya Kumaran remembers how her early training opened a new world for her.
It feels good after you've completed a song and after it's perfect.
The Suzuki method discourages competition among children. Instead, it encourages them to play together, including public performances.
Kathy Adams joins her son Jared on the piano as he practices each day.
I have such an appreciation for what it is to listen, to truly listen to the music. Jared's a great example. He has an amazing violin ear.
Jared says he was excited when he recently got an autograph from Joshua Bell, one of the world's top violinists.
I think he's absolutely brilliant. This is the first time I've actually walked up to him, and I'm not sure if I said hello or not, but it was just amazing.
Stephanie Flack has been teaching for 9 years and says she is still excited to see her students' progress.
Their love of music and seeing how much they enjoy it just really is rewarding for me.
The smell of freshly baked cookies fills Lucy's Bakery in Norfolk, Virginia. They look like the usual sweets you would find in any store. But owner Lucy Gibney says these are special.
Especially special because I don't use typical ingredients.
Lucy Gibney is an emergency room doctor.
Most cookies are made from wheat flour, butter, eggs, and none of those are in our recipes.
Lucy's cookies also do not contain gluten, a protein found in wheat, barley, and rye. Some people are sensitive to gluten.
I made cookies with these recipes at home for my son, who has food allergies and can't eat gluten, milk or eggs, peanuts or tree nuts.
What began as tasty recipes for her son developed in 4 years into a company with $5 million in expected sales this year. Many people came to Lucy's booth at the recent fancy food show in Washington.
I liked what I saw on her website.
Marilyn Klim owns retail stores in New Hampshire and is a possible buyer.
I thought that I would come and try because my customers are asking more and more for gluten-free.
Nearby is Ted Vogelman from Sticky Fingers Bakeries, a 25-year-old company in the state of Washington. The company offers gluten-free scones.
We just started producing the gluten-free for this show, actually, basically because we requested by our customers that we carry gluten-free.
Show official Louise Kramer says Sticky Fingers and Lucy's were among 300 companies presenting gluten-free products at the show.
And that's way up. We saw it begin a few years ago with maybe 20 to 40 companies with gluten-free products. And we're seeing a lot better product now coming out, not only more, but better.
A market survey shows that sales of gluten-free products topped $6 billion in 2011. Alessio Fasano is the director of the Center for Celiac Research at the University of Maryland. He is not surprised at the growing interest in gluten-free diets.
One of the reasons is that celiac disease, the most known and studied conditions related to gluten, is much more frequent than we believed before.
Besides celiac disease, that is gluten sensitivity, that seems to affect many more people. Something like 6% of the population, or 18 million people.
Alessio Fasano says gluten intolerance, which has a number of symptoms from headaches to infertility, was originally identified in Europeans. But he says it is now seen more often in North Africa, the Middle East, and China. Even people who can tolerate gluten sometimes choose not to eat it. Vinnie Pamula was a visitor to the food show.
I don't have a gluten intolerance, no. But I feel better when I eat gluten-free food sometimes.
Our program was produced by Brianna Blake, with reporting by Susan Logue, Deborah Block, and Joan So. I'm Christopher Cruz.
And I'm June Sims. You can read and listen to our programs and find videos for all three of our stories at voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for This is America in VOA Special English.